Without further ado, you asked, we listened. People want to hear from Chris Neal at this moment in time. Of course, the former Ottawa senator joining us this morning on the Gabriel Pizza Hotline. The new entrepreneur, we should say. Chris, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, thank you. Thanks for having me on.
The other reason we want to talk to you, Chris, is that a lot of people are interested to get your opinion on what happened with the Sens the other night. I'm sure you still follow things very closely. And obviously the situation with Aaron Dell and with Drake Batherson and a lot of people debating, did the Sens respond the right way? Just let me get your thoughts on what you saw from the hit and what you thought of the events of Tuesday night.
Well, you know, obviously you don't like to see stuff like that happen. And, you know, especially one of your premier players and, you know, well, your top scorer on your team. And, you know, Drake's an unbelievable individual. And, you know, I've met him a bunch of times. He's, you know, he's been out here. He skated on the Iceland skating rink as well. So anyway, just a great person. And, you know, I know to see that happen, you don't like to see that at all. And, you know, it's... you kind of he lunges at him at the start, but he's definitely intentional. And you know, I know if I'm playing there, you know, you want to get retribution, but you got to do it smart too. And that's why, you know, I played my whole career, you know, and without a suspension. You know, I know there was a couple of close calls here or there, but anyway, but in saying that, you know, there's ways to go around it, and you know, whether you know, it's not take liberties on their best player. But I always said, if I want to get a spark for my team, I'm not going to go ask their tough guy to fight. I'm going to go, you're playing Pittsburgh, you know, you're going to go, you know, try to finish your check on Crosby, knowing their tough guy is going to come. And, you know, so there is ways around it. You know, obviously, if a situation like that with a goalie, you know, you talk to your line mates and just say, hey, you know, it's you're coming down wide, just make sure you throw a little muffin in there and I can keep going right through. And, you know, so there's little ways to go around it without getting suspended. And, you know, I think something more, I think, should have happened. But in saying that, that's not today's game anymore.
Okay, so when you say throw a muffin in there and I'll go right through, what do you mean by that? You're skating through the goalie? That's what you would have done?
Yeah, like crash that. And, you know, whether the pegs go off or you put them right through the end boards, you know, that's, I'm just going to the net hard. And, you know, that's what you say to them. They call you about it. And you see guys crash the net all the time. If you get a 2-minute penalty, you get a 2-minute penalty. And, you know, that is what it is. And especially when you're up 3-0 in the game, you know, that's, it's also different if it's a close game, you know, it's a 1-0 game or, you know, it's, sometimes you got to take numbers and, you know, okay, well, I'm not going to get them tonight, but, you know, next time we play them, it's, you know, an opportunity, you know, because you let something like that away with once, it's going to happen again.
Talking to Chris Neal. So, I mean, you saw what the Sens did or did not do. We saw some talking, but really nothing else beyond that. Do you think they should have done more in that situation?
Well, like I said, the game has changed since I played. You know, it's and I feel very blessed and fortunate. I played in three generations. I played, you know, a couple of years in the old school, my generation, and then the new generation to a certain degree. And, you know, so I've seen, you know, all different, you know, types, of, like the way the game's changed with the speed. And, you know, it's the game has played at a high pace now. And, you know, it's that's why you see, you know, even with contact and stuff, you know, with the suspensions, there's a lot more suspensions now than there ever used to be. And, you know, it's because it is such a fast game. And, you know, it's I always say it stems back to minor hockey with you know, contact, you know, they keep pushing contact out the other way when, you know, kids are getting 14, 15 years old. And, you know, that's when their hormones kick in. You have size differential and, you know, where it should be at my kid's age where he's 10 right now, there's no size differential. They're out there skating around with their head down. They run into each other. They just pop up and away they go again. But if you teach them at that age that I was always taught to go back, get the puck and, you know, get facing up ice to see who's coming. You know, now it's they go back and they keep their back to the play and they wonder why there's hits from behind. And, you know, it's I find it stems all the way back to minor hockey and, you know, seeing it with my own kids. And, you know, it's it's tough to see, because hitting, you know, it can be a game-changing moment in the NHL, and you know, it's something that fans do like to see, and I'm all for, like, a, you know, a hard checking, hard physical game, and, you know, in battle, and you know, that's what the game's all about. And you know, it's that's why our top line's so successful with Tkachuk, Batherson, and Norris. You know, they play the game the right way. They're physical. They get in on the forecheck. They aren't afraid to, you know, to go in and get that puck first, knowing they might get hit. And you know, that's why I look at you know, Anaheim when they had Getzlaff and Perry. You know, those guys played the same way. And I think that's going forward for the Sens. It's going to be you know, fun for our fan base to watch this. And you know, I think it's incredible the way those guys play. And you know, I think the longevity that they're going to have, and it creates so much more space for them, and you're starting to see it now.
Hey, a lot of teams in the league right now don't even deploy the Browns and the Watsons. How do you think DJ Smith felt waking up Wednesday morning about his team's response?
But like I said, it's you know, with guys, you know, when it comes down to you know, going out and just going in and, you know, running the goalie right away, you know, like, the refs are going to be watching for that too. So it is a fine line, you know, because if you do get suspended, it's without pay. So, you know, it's one of those things that those guys, you know, are pretty cautious about that as well. But, you know, like, there's other situations too. Like, you know, you watch the game, I watch it close, and, you know, I think there's a lot of guys in there that care. And, you know, but I look at a guy like Tim Stutz having to fight the one game. Well, that should never have happened. There's guys on the ice, and, you know, I was talking to him. He goes, oh, did you see my fight? I go, yeah, the difference is you shouldn't have had to fight. And, you know, he's such a skilled player, and, you know, he's effective with his speed. And, you know, so that's why you have those guys in the lineup to take care of stuff like that.
You very famously came into the lineup in the playoff series against the New York Rangers when Tanner Glass was kind of running around, for lack of a better term, and getting the best of Ottawa. And it seemed like the series changed a little bit when you went after Tanner Glass. You uttered that very famous quote, "I wanted to let him know his fun's done." Take us through that moment and what you feel you achieved in that moment. I know it's a different situation with Dell's a goalie and Glass is a skater, but kind of take us through your thinking at that moment when you came into that series against the Rangers.
Well, I went out my first shift against them, and, you know, I'm like, you know, I was letting them know, and knowing that, you know, he's probably not going to fight. And anyway, that's, you know, so then you start playing the game, and, you know, that is what it is. But in that situation, it happened so quick that I seen the delayed penalty, and, you know, I made the line change myself. There was a guy coming, and I hopped on, and away I went, because I knew he had a 2-minute penalty. If I take an instigator, then, you know, it's evened up. So, you know, that was the way my mind was thinking at the time. And, you know, that's, you know, you have a guy like Kyle Turris, you know, in that game, once they put me in, you know, I always joke with Kyle. I go, he had 9 hits that game, if you go back and look at the stats. And I go, he didn't have 9 hits all year, but he had 9 hits that game. And, you know, just guys played with a little more urgency, a little more fearless out there, because they knew nothing would happen to them. And, you know, being able to, you know, obviously there's lots of guys around the league. Like, you look at, you know, I think he does an unbelievable job as Ryan Reeves at it. You know, the New York Rangers are, you know, playing with lots of confidence, and, you know, their skilled guys are protected because, you know, Ryan Reeves is out there. And, you know, in playoffs it's different because you got everyone thinks they're a tough guy out there, and they're running around hitting and stuff. But that's where, you know, the guy's got to be able to play the game like a Ryan Reeves. And, you know, when I played, you know, I was able to play the game, chip in offensively, and, you know, be a part of that as well. And, you know, the reason why I played as long as I did is because I bought into my role. And, you know, I was drafted as an offensive player from the OHL, 72 points my last year in the O. And so I had that offensive touch, but I looked at the right side and I carved out a niche for myself because I knew I wasn't beating out Elferson, Havlat, or Hossa for the top 3 spots on the team. So I'm like, okay, if I want to make it, that fourth line spot's that's my spot. And, you know, that's a lot of guys that they don't carve out a niche for themselves, and, you know, therefore they'll never end up, you know, playing in the NHL. And, you know, it's meanwhile, they're unbelievable players.
Are you outside right now grooming the trail now that you're a businessman?
Well, actually, I am on site. I hopped into my truck to take the call, but yeah, we're here flooding the trails to get them ready for
afternoon when people start to show up.
All right, awesome. Okay, so it's the Iceland skating trail that you now you've got some partners, and it's out in Stittsville. So is this another piece of land that you acquired? Was the whole idea that you wanted to create a skating trail with an outdoor rink? Kind of take us through that whole thing.
Well, I bought the property 15 years ago back when I was playing. I wanted to do 2-acre estate lots on it, and obviously there's a moratorium on it. So, you know, they want the building of the city out, not coming in. So I'm about 2 kilometers off Stittsville, Maine. So I've owned the property for a long time. And anyway, this is something we talked about for 4 years with, you know, two of my buddies. And we finally said, if we're doing it, let's do it. And so anyway, we didn't really know what we were getting into when we first started, but it's turned out pretty sweet.
Neeler, how did you end up mapping it out? I guess kind of the course and the concept. I know there's some other places. Did you go on a little tour of what other people are doing?
Actually, we didn't. Google Earth. It's a magical thing. so we had to pick the trail, so it's relatively level ground through the whole area. So when you flood the trails and stuff, we have some trails through the property that it was higher ground. So, you know, we wasted a day or two here or there building those trails, and we didn't end up even using them because of the elevation of the ground. So, and it's not even a big elevation change. It's just you want the flow for the water, so whenever everything freezes, and we create a windrows on the trails, and it holds the water perfect.
All right. Chris Neal is our guest here on TSN 1200. Now, you've got an outdoor rink there as well. Like, you couldn't have, Chris, you couldn't have scripted this any better in terms of the timing, right? Unfortunately, we went back into a lockdown, but you open up. People are looking for stuff to do. People are looking to be outdoors on a rink. Like, I mean, were you talking to Doug Ford about, hey, lock it down because I want to open this new business? Or how did that all come about, the timing?
Well, honestly, the timing didn't have anything to do with it, and we weren't even really thinking about that, to be honest with you. You know, I'm a big kid myself, and I, you know, when we built this, you know, it's like a, you know, you envision yourself skating on it. And anyway, the satisfaction that we get out of it is, you know, it's a lot of hard work and a lot of hours have been put into it. But, you know, it's when you see those kids come off and they got a big smile on their face and being able to get outdoors and still be active and doing something, you know, it's worth every effort we've put into this place. It really has been. And, you know, just for their mental health. And, you know, I know Bell Let's Talk Day was yesterday, I think it was. And, you know, that's huge for the mental health of these teenagers, the kids. And, you know, it's, you know, going forward, that's going to be a big issue down the road. And, you know, we got to start to live our life and get back to some type of normalcy, you know, in our lives. And, you know, that's huge. And I see it with my own kids. And, you know, since we've started this endeavor or this venture, my kids' screen time has been down 40%. And, you know, they're awesome. They're outdoors. They're being active. And, you know, it's just great for their mental health. They're sleeping better. And, you know, that's I see it firsthand with my own kids.
All right, good stuff. Now, you've got your outdoor rink. Is it a regulation like 200 by 85? I know you've got boards. I see you've got a Zamboni. Somebody told me you bought, like, when they tore down the Minto, that you bought the boards there. Kind of take us through just building the outdoor rink part of what you got going.
Well, so we when they were tearing down Minto Arena, so we went in and we bought the NHL size rink, and anyway, it's been there for a long time. So the I beams were built right in the concrete, and it was stick framed together. That's why there was no forgiveness. So when you go to hit a guy on the boards, and there's no forgiveness on the board, so they weren't any good to us. So we ended up getting the 3-on-3 rink in the back, which was 65 by 85. So we've kept the corners, and so we're 65 wide by 160 long. So it's just the NHL size, like you said, 80 by 200. So we aren't too far off of it, but it's perfect for 4-on-4. Some of the younger kids go, you know, like a non-controlled scrimmage for 5-on-5. And, you know, so it's awesome to see. And, you know, we've had synchronized figure skating teams that we've had ringette. You know, so it's all different walks of life out there, and, you know, it's just great to see. And I think, you know, when you vision the rink. One of my movies growing up that as a kid I watched was Field of Dreams with the baseball diamond in the middle of a cornfield and Legends of the Game. So, you know, like this is kind of the way it is. You drive in, there's the old tree, and we protected it from the sun. So the ice should last a good long time for us.
Weather is a big partner, Neeler. In an ideal year, when would you open up and when would you close? What do you think the shelf life is?
So obviously we're hoping to be open a little sooner this year, and we could have, with the weather we did have, the thing is we had some heavy machines in here with the trails and stuff, so the frost hadn't set in every single spot because we had the machines over it, but once it was able to set in, you know, the ice took awesome. We were able to open the rink sooner than the trails. It's protected really well, and you know we had a good base down there, so it's and it was something we did first before we started the trails. So the trails did take a little longer, but if weather permitted, I think if we get in for March break, you know, that'd be awesome. But like you said, it's we're in weather. We're always watching the Weather Channel for
absolutely, so. Absolutely. All right, you need to book in advance if you want to go visit Chris Neal's Iceland Skating Trail. They've got a website. It's icelynd.com to find out more information. See some great pictures on the skating trail if you want to go check it out. Great to catch up with you. Continued success with the business, with the rink, and everything. And we'll look forward to talking to you again down the road. Thanks for the time though this morning.
Well, thanks for having me on, and, you know, obviously I have Mark Mathos back in the city and doing a lot, and, you know, I seen one of his posts with ODR Challenge.
Yeah.
Anyway, my ODR is open all the time if he wants to come out and play with me.
All right, challenge accepted. We'll pass it on.